If you're wondering why my husband wanted all his money to go to Blackie after my death...
Blackie?
Miss Blacklock.
Ah.
Anyway, it wasn't for the reason that I'm sure you're thinking. Randall was never in the least in love with her, nor she with him. I don't think she was ever in love. She wasn't very pretty, and she didn't care for clothes. I think he looked on her more as a younger brother. And she kept him out of trouble more than once, you know.
She told me she came to his rescue once with money.
She did more than that. She kept him straight. She was a very good person. And you can't use that word about many people. No. Her sister was an invalid. She had a deformity of some sort, and she never saw people or went out. When their father died, she gave up everything to look after her sister. Randall was furious with her, but it made no difference. If her mind was set on doing something, nothing would move her.
How long was that before your husband died?
A couple of years, I think. Randall made his will before she left the firm, and he didn't alter it. He said to me, "We've no one of our own. After you and I are gone, Blackie had better have the money. She'll play the markets and make them sit up."
She enjoyed the money-making game, then?
Oh, yes. It wasn't just the money, though. It was the adventure, the risk, the excitement of it all.
Can you tell me a little about your husband's sister? I gather that he quarrelled with her over her marriage to Mr. Samfordis.
Randall said he was a crook. But Sonia was madly in love with him. She was 24, very beautiful, and knew exactly what she was doing.
And do you ever hear anything from her?
Oh, the last time I heard from her was over 25 years ago. She was in Budapest. She asked me to tell Randall she was very happy and had just had twins.
And did she tell you their names?
She said that as they'd been born just after midday, she intended to call them Pip and Emma. That may just have been a joke, of course.
And you didn't hear from her again?
No. I never heard any more.
Nevertheless, Mr. Girdler left his estate to Sonia's children in the event of Miss Blacklock predeceasing you.
Oh, that was my doing. I said to him, "I know Blackie is as strong as a horse, and I'm a delicate creature. But there's such a thing as accidents, you know. And there's such a thing as creaking gates." And he said, "But there's no one. Absolutely no one." And I said, "There's Sonia." And he said at once, "I'm not letting that Stamfordis fellow have my money." So I said, "Well, her children then." And so he grumbled, but put it in.
And from that day to this, you've heard nothing of your sister-in-law or her children?
Nothing. They went right out of our lives. They may be dead. They may be anywhere.
And if Miss Blacklock dies before you do, they will inherit your husband's fortune?
Don't let them hurt Blackie. You mustn't let any harm come to her.
You're tired, Mrs. Girdler. I'll go.
There's not long now. Not long before I'm dead. It's dangerous for her. Look after her.
It's Miss Bunner's birthday today, Mitzi, and we're going to have a little tea party for her. Some of the neighbours will be coming, and I'd like you to make that wonderful cake you do so well.
At her age, one does not have birthdays. It is better to forget.
Well, Dora doesn't want to forget.
It is the cake with the chocolate icing you want me to make?
Yes, Mitzi, the rich one. I can't remember what it's called.
The one Mr. Patrick says is delicious death.
Yes, that's the one.
Delicious death. I will not have my cake called that.
It was a compliment, really, Mitzi. He meant that it was worth dying to eat such a cake.
But I do not like that word, death. And remember what happened when we last had people in the house?
Well, I assure you it won't happen this time, Mitzi. And now I really must get on.
Oh, Letty, there you are.
I was going to have a word with Mitzi about the sandwiches.
Oh, no, Dora, come away. I really don't want her disturbed.
But I could just show her how to cut them properly.
Please don't show her anything, Dora.
Well, if you say so, Letty, I'm going to enjoy my birthday. Colonel Easterbrook rang up just now to wish me many happy returns of the day and said he was bringing me a pot of honey and a surprise present. Ooh. I can't think how he knew about it.
Everybody seems to know. You've been talking about it, Dora.
Well, I did just happen to mention that today I should be 59.
You, 64.
And Miss Hinchliffe says, you don't look it. What age do you think I am? Which was rather awkward because Miss Hinchliffe might be almost any age. She said she was going to bring me some eggs.
Wow, I'm doing quite well out of your birthday, Dora. There's honey, eggs, and that magnificent box of chocolates from Julia.
And that lovely brooch you gave me.
Ah, do you like it? I'm so glad. I never care for jewellery.
I love it. You're so good to me, Letty.
Nearly all the neighbours came to Little Paddock's that afternoon to wish Dora Bunner a happy birthday and have a slice of Mitzi's delicious death. Colonel Easterbrook gave her a bag of sweets with a note saying, "Sweets to the sweet," and Miss Murgatroyd brought a handful of late roses. Unfortunately, Bunch had the Dorcas group that afternoon, so that I had no good reason to attend the party.
I'm glad that Miss Markle didn't come. That woman is the nasty prying kind, the sort that nothing is safe from.
Well, now that all the guests have gone, why don't we have a drop of sherry? Will you have a glass, Philippa?
I'd love one, Patrick.
Me too.
Did you enjoy your birthday, Dora?
Oh, I did. But I've got a terrible headache. It's the excitement, I think.
Yes, the cake. I feel a bit liverish myself. Here you are, Philippa.
Thanks. I feel a bit queasy, too. Of course, you were nibbling chocolates all morning, Dora.
Well, the truth is, we're not used to all these rich things.
I'll go and lie down, I think.
That'll probably be best.
The trouble is, I can't find my aspirins anywhere.
I think you'd be better off with a glass of sherry. As my old nurse used to say, it will settle your stomach.
No, I think aspirin would be better.
Well, take some of mine. They're on the table by my bed.
Well, there are some on my dressing table.
But I had a new bottle. What can have become of it?
Well, there are heaps in the bathroom. The whole house is simply bursting with aspirins.
It vexes me not to be able to find mine. But, thank you all the same.
Poor old Dora. Do you think we should have given her some sherry?
Better not, I think. She's had a lot of excitement today, and it really isn't good for her. So, I really do think she enjoyed it.
She loved it.
Shall I clear the things away now?
You just sit down and take it easy, Mitzi. I'm going to get you a glass of sherry for the best cook in the world.
I am not really a cook. In my country, I do intellectual things.
Then you're wasted. What are the achievements of the intellect compared to delicious death?
I do not like you to call it that.
Here's your sherry. That's my name for it, and here's to it. Let's all drink to delicious death, and to hell with the after effects. Delicious death!
Philippa, my dear, I want to talk to you. There's nothing wrong, is there?
Oh, no, Letty. Why should there be?
You're not worrying about money or something like that?
I'm quite all right.
Well, I know you get anxious sometimes about Harry's education. That's why I want to tell you something. I drove into Milchester this morning to see Mr. Beddington. I thought that, in view of certain circumstances, it was time to make a new will. Apart from Dora's legacy, I'm leaving everything to you.
But I don't want it. I really don't, in any way. Why to me?
Because there's no one else.
But there's Patrick and Julia.
Yes, there's Patrick and Julia.
Well, they are your relations, after all.
Very distant ones. They have no claim on me.
But I've no claims at all. I really don't want it.
I know what I'm doing, Philippa. I've become fond of you. And there's the boy. You won't get very much if I should die now. But in a few weeks' time, it might be different.
But you're not going to die.
Well, not if I can avoid it by taking certain precautions.
Precautions?
Yes. Think it over. And stop worrying yourself, Philippa. Oh, Julia.
I didn't know you were still up. Is the side door locked?
Oh, yes. Every door is barred and bolted and locked. Good night, Aunt Letty.
Good night, Julia.
Well, well, Philippa. You've played your cards very cleverly, haven't you? I see you're one of the quiet ones.
You mean you heard?
I rather think I was meant to hear.
What do you mean?
Oh, Letty's no fool. You're sitting pretty, aren't you?
I had no idea. I never meant to...
Didn't you? Of course you did. But just remember this. If anyone bumps off Aunt Letty, you'll be suspect number one.
And why should I do that? I'd be an idiot if I killed her now.
So, you know all about Mrs. What's-her-name, dying up in Scotland?
No, it was just that Letty was...
Philippa, I'm beginning to think you're a very dark horse indeed.
I don't want to do you and Patrick out of anything.
Don't you, dear? I'm sorry, but I don't believe you.
So it's beginning to look as if we should be concentrating on Pip and Emma. If only we could establish that Miss Blacklock hadn't seen Patrick and Julia since they were children.
Oh, but I've done that, Dermot. Hmm? I had a little talk with Letty Blacklock, and...
And you just happened to get that out of her, hmm?
Well...
The only problem is that they appear to be who they say they are. Sir Henry got in touch with our consul in Monte Carlo, who rang their mother, Mrs. Simmons, in Cannes. She says that her children are very definitely staying with Miss Blacklock at Little Paddocks.
And Mrs. Simmons really is Mrs. Simmons?
I fear so. Sir Henry made a particular point of confirming that. So, what have you been doing while I've been away, hmm? Nothing too risky, I hope?
I had sherry with Miss Hinchliffe and Miss Murgatroyd at Boulder's. Mm-hmm. I've had tea with Colonel Easterbrook and his wife, and admired their Indian curios.
And are they who they say they are?
I'm not entirely certain about Colonel Easterbrook. You see, I just happened to mention a cousin of mine who'd been at a hill station.
Excuse me, Inspector.
Yes?
There's a call for you from the Milchester police.
Where's the phone, Mrs. Harmon?
It's out in the hall, Inspector.
Thank you.
Did they say what it was about?
Oh, yes, they did. It's Dora Bunner. They found her dead in her bed this morning, and the doctor isn't satisfied that it was natural. Narcotic poisoning. That's his guess.
Apparently, Miss Bunner went upstairs to lie down after her birthday party. It had all proved a bit too much for her, and she had a headache. She couldn't find her own bottle of aspirin, and she took some from a bottle by Miss Blacklock's bed. We don't know what was in the tablets. The doctor sent them off to be analysed, but it definitely wasn't aspirin.
And yesterday, all the neighbours were in the house celebrating her birthday.
Eating a cake called Delicious Death, apparently. And the people who were there were almost exactly the same crowd who were present at the time of the hold-up. Any one of them could have nipped upstairs and substituted the pills in the bottle in Miss Blacklock's bedroom. Or anyone living in the house, come to think of it.
What I really needed was an excuse to get into Little Paddocks. And Bunch, very conveniently, provided me with one. Her husband, the vicar, was with a dying parishioner, and Bunch had her own little emergency, so she suggested that I should go to see Miss Blacklock to convey their condolences.
And now I really must rush. I hope the walk won't be too much for you.
Mitzi showed me into the drawing room, and for a few moments I had the scene of the hold-up all to myself. Dora Bunner had said to me that she suspected Patrick Simmons had tampered with a lamp to make the lights go out before the intruder burst in. She had mentioned something about there being a pair of lamps, a shepherd and a shepherdess. At the time of the hold-up, the shepherdess was on the table, and yet the following day the shepherd lamp had been substituted. But why?
I hope I've not kept you waiting, Miss Marple.
I'm very sorry to intrude at such a time, but the vicar is with a parishioner who is gravely ill, and Mrs. Harmon has had to take one of the children to hospital. I was asked to give you this note.
Oh, thank you. Ah, it's a very understanding man. No fatuous commiseration.
He wanted me to tell you that he believed Miss Banner's favourite hymn was Lead Kindly Light.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's just that Dora was my only link with the past and the only one who remembered. Now she's gone and I'm alone.
Oh, I do understand. One is alone when the last one who remembers is gone. I have nephews and nieces and kind friends, but there is no one who knew me as a young girl. I've been alone for quite a long time.
Well, you understand very well, Miss Marple.
Oh, I didn't expect to find you here, Miss Marple. Rather early in the day for you, isn't it?
I am here on an errand for Reverend Harmon, but I shall not stay. I shan't hamper you in your inquiries, Inspector.
Good morning, Inspector. Miss Marple, could you please tell Reverend Harmon that I shall be in this afternoon, if he's able to call?
I will. Goodbye, Miss Blacklock. Goodbye, Inspector.
Goodbye, Miss Marple.
Goodbye, Miss Marple. And thank you.
I won't waste time offering you sympathy, Miss Blacklock. I feel very badly about Miss Bunner's death. We ought to have been able to prevent it.
I don't see how you could have done. Dora is dead through taking aspirin tablets that were meant for me. It may be Patrick or Julia or Philippa or Mitzi next. Somebody young with their whole life in front of them. Somebody who drinks a glass of wine that's poured out for me or eats the chocolate that is sent for me. Who's doing this, Inspector? Did Mrs. Girdler tell you anything?
Not very much, I'm afraid. She confirmed that Pip and Emma would be the ones to benefit by your death, but we seem to have drawn a bit of a blank over them. Can you tell me a little about their mother?
Sonia Girdler, or Sonia Stamfordis. That's her married name.
Would you recognise her if you saw her?
I don't know that I would. It must be nearly 30 years since we met.
What was she like? What do you remember about her?
Oh, she was very attractive. Small, vivacious.
She may not be so vivacious now. Could she be any of the women who were here when the intruder broke in? Mrs. Easterbrook, for instance?
Oh, it doesn't seem very likely. I think the Colonel met her when he was out in India.
Have you got a photograph of Sonia?
I've probably got some old snapshots in an album somewhere.
Could I have a look at them?
Oh, of course. Now, where did I put them? I came across them only the other day when I was clearing out one of the cupboards. Julia was helping me.
Well, I'll go and find her. You've got quite enough on your mind at the moment. Do you know where I can find her?
I've no idea, I'm afraid.
Miss Simmons? Miss Simmons? Miss Simmons?
Who is it? Oh, it's you, Inspector. I was up in the attic. What is it?
I wanted to see the old photograph albums that you and Miss Blacklock were looking at the other day, please.
Oh, yes, I know. I put them in the big cupboard in the study. I'll find them for you.
Are these the ones?
Yes. What is it you're looking for?
Ah, so that's where we put them. Oh, now, the ones you're after should be in this album, on the third or fourth page. Now, the other book is after she married. It ought to be here.
Just empty spaces. But you're quite right. Someone's written Sonia Self RG, Sonia and Bell, Charlotte Self Sonia.
There weren't any blank spaces when we were looking the other day, were there, Julia?
Well, I wasn't looking very closely. Just at the dresses and the hats. But all the pictures seem to be there.
Somebody has removed every photo of Sonia Girdler from this album. Tell me, is Mrs. Hames working over at Dare's Hall this morning?
No, she didn't go over there today. You'll find her in the garden, I think.
So what is it this time?
I think you said, Mrs. Ames, that your husband had been killed in Italy during the war.
Well?
Wouldn't it have been better to tell us the truth? That he was a deserter from his regiment?
Do you have to rake up everything?
We expect people to tell us the truth.
So what are you going to do about it? Tell everyone? Is that really necessary?
Does nobody know?
Nobody here. And I don't want my son to know, ever. His father was killed in the war, and that's all it amounts to.
But your husband is still alive.
Perhaps. How should I know?
When did you last see him, Mrs. Ames?
I haven't seen him for years.
You're quite sure he didn't come here a couple of weeks ago?
What do you mean by that?
I never entirely believed that story about you meeting Rudy Schertz in the summer house. But Mitzi saw you there with somebody. I suggest that the man who came there to meet you was your husband.
I didn't meet anyone in the summer house.
Deserters are often desperate men. They're often involved in raids and hold-ups. And they have foreign revolvers they brought back from abroad.
I don't know where my husband is. I haven't seen him for years, and that's all I have to say.
We never traced that gun, you know. It certainly didn't belong to Rudy Schertz. I need to establish whether anybody in Chipping Cleghorn has a revolver.
Colonel Easterbrook has one, I believe.
Hmm? How do you know that bunch?
Mrs. Bott told me. She's my daily. She does for a lot of the people in the village. Being a military gentleman, she said, he'd naturally have a revolver in the house. It would be very handy if burglars happened to come along.
Colonel Easterbrook.
It's like those pointer things at fairs, isn't it? Go round and round and stop at something different every time.
Didn't you say there was something rather fishy about him, Miss Marple?
Only that he claimed to have been in Pindy, but had never heard of a cousin of mine who would have been out there at the same time. Hardly conclusive.
He went out to Little Paddock's to leave a book a couple of days before the hold-up. And he could easily have oiled the lock of that door then. And he was at Dora Bunner's birthday party. I think I'll try and find out a little more about Colonel Easterbrook. I'll drop in later, if I may, Mrs. Harmon.
Of course, Inspector, any time you like.
Thank you.
Oh, I do wish that poor boy wouldn't rush off at the least hint of a possible lead. What this case needs is a little quiet thought.
I'd better be off. I've got to go into Milchester to discuss the plans for the new village hall. I'll put a lamp on for you before I go. It's getting so gloomy.
Thank you.
I'll put it on the side table. Oh, the flex doesn't look too healthy. It's the cat. He will gnaw away at it. Oh. He'll get a nasty electric shock one day. I'll just move these flowers out of the way. Oh, I must have filled the vase too full. Still, no harm done.
No. Where do I turn it on?
There's a little switch there. That. That's fused the lights. I must have spilt the water on that bit of worn flex. It's left a burn mark on the table, too. I'll go and fix the fuse.
You'll do no such thing, Bunch. You'll miss your bus. There's quite enough light, really. I just want to sit quietly and think something through. Something I should have seen a long time ago.
Now then, Murgatroyd, we are going to have another go at solving these murders.
But we've been over it all time and again, Hinch, and we've got nowhere.
Ah, but that was before Mrs. Bott told us the second door to the drawing room could be opened. It changes the whole picture.
I don't see how.
It means that the man from the Royal Spa Hotel didn't necessarily fire the gun. Someone could have come up from behind him and done it.
But who could it have been?
That's what we're going to work out, Murgatroyd. Whoever did it must have been the same person who put the poison tablets in the bottle by Letty's bed. And that can't have been Rudy Schertz, because he's dead. We are looking for someone who was at Little Paddock's on the night of the hold-up, and who was at the birthday party for Dora as well. The only person that lets out is Mrs. Harmon, because she couldn't come to the birthday.
But I don't see how anybody could possibly have substituted the tablets.
We all went to the loo, didn't we? And I washed my hands in the bathroom because of the sticky cake. And little simpering Mrs. Easterbrook powdered her silly face in Miss Blacklock's bedroom, didn't she?
Laura Easterbrook? Do you really think she
I don't know. If she did, she was being pretty obvious. But it might have been a kind of double bluff.
None of the men went upstairs.
There are the back stairs as well, don't forget. And if a man goes to the loo, you don't follow him to see where he's going, do you? Anyway, let's concentrate on the night of the hold-up. I want you to try and remember exactly what you saw. Now, where was everybody just before the lights went out? You were standing beside the door.
Yes, and when it crashed open, it was between me and the man, Rosie's shirts. And it knocked my corn.
I do wish you'd go to a proper chiropodist instead of messing around with your feet by yourself. You'll get blood poisoning one of these days. Now, come on. Try to remember where everybody else was.
I am trying, Hinch.
I'm standing against the mantelpiece with my tongue hanging out for a drink, and Patrick's taking an eternity to get round with the sherry. Letty Blacklock is by the table near the arch, getting the cigarettes. Patrick goes into the other part of the room to get more glasses.
Yes, I remember that.
And then there was someone who followed him over there. Philippa Hames it was. I remember that distinctly because I noticed what a nice flat back she'd gotten, that she'd look good on a horse. I don't know exactly where she went, because at that moment the lights went out.
It gave me such a fright.
Now we're all in the dark. And the young man bursts in and starts waving the torch about. This is where you come in, Murgatroyd.
But I couldn't see anything at all.
Oh, yes, you could. From where you were standing, you were facing the same way as Rudy Schatz, the way the torch was pointing. The rest of us were dazzled by it, but you weren't because the door was in between.
Oh, yes, but I couldn't see anything much. The torch was waving round and round.
Yes, but it must have stopped on people's faces.
Yes, it did.
Then you must have seen somebody. Think. Try and remember.
There was Miss Bunner, with her mouth wide open.
Good. Go on.
And Mrs. Harmon, with her eyes tight shut.
Good. You've got the idea. When we've eliminated who you did see, we can get to the really important part. Whoever it was that you couldn't see. Think carefully. Was there someone who definitely wasn't there?
I remember seeing the flowers on the table and the big armchair. The torch didn't get round as far as you, Hinch, and then it moved over to...
Blast! Just a minute. Keep on concentrating, Murgatroyd. 831. Yes? What?
I can see Colonel Easterbrook. At least I think so. And then the torch moved again and... Oh, but that's extraordinary.
You mean to say that poor animal's been there since first thing this morning, and you've only just got round to ringing me up about it? I'll have the SPCA on you. An oversight? Is that all you've got to say? That was the station. They've had that red setter we were to pick up since 8 o'clock this morning without a drop of water. I'm going to get her right away.
But Hinch, it's the most extraordinary thing.
You'll have to tell me all about it when I get back. I can't wait for you to get changed. You've got your bedroom slippers on as usual.
But wait, Hinch. I've got to tell you.
When I come back.
But Hinch, she wasn't there.
The shepherdess. Violets. Delicious death.
Is there anyone there?
Yes, I am here. Miss Marple?
Why are you sitting in the dark?
The lights have all fused.
I've got to use the telephone. Ours seems to be out of order.
It's just here.
I've got a lighter.
But you're trembling all over. What is the matter? What's happened?
It's Murgatroyd. I found her outside the cottage. She's dead. She's been strangled. Thank you for coming back with me, Miss Marple. I couldn't have faced it on my own.
The police will be here very soon.
What makes it all so horrible was that we turned it into a kind of game. And murder isn't a game.
No. Murder is not a game.
I was trying to get her to remember who was in the room on the night of the hold-up. After the lights had gone out and that man forced his way into the room. I wanted her to tell me which faces she could remember seeing. And then the phone rang. If only I'd stayed and listened to her. That damn dog could have waited another half hour. It had been there all day. She came out and shouted after me. And that's why she was killed.
Don't blame yourself, my dear. It does no good.
I thought I heard someone tapping at the window, but I was too caught up in what we were doing to notice. We were shouting at each other at the tops of our voices. She must have heard it. She could have heard it all.
She? How do you know it was a she?
Because of what Murgatroyd said.
And what was that?
Just one sentence. She wasn't there. You see, there were three women we hadn't eliminated. Mrs. Easterbrook, Mrs. Hames, and Julia Simmons. And one of those three wasn't there. She wasn't there in the drawing room because she'd slipped out through the other door and into the hall behind Rudy's shirts.
Yes, I see.
It's one of those three women. I don't know which.
Excuse me, but did Miss Murgatroyd say it exactly as you said it?
I don't understand what you mean.
Oh, dear. How can I explain? You said it like this. She wasn't there. With an equal emphasis on every word. But there are three ways you can say it. You could say, she wasn't there. Or again, she wasn't there. As if to confirm some suspicion. Or you could say, she wasn't there.
How the hell can I remember? I simply don't know. Does it make any difference?
Yes, I think it does. It might make quite a lot of difference. But the police are here. I think I'd better be getting on my way.
We've had a late afternoon delivery.
Well, that makes a change. It's generally a privilege for the postman even to manage one delivery a day.
Two for you.
Mm-hmm.
And one for me. A letter from Harry.
Well, it's the bill from Carter's for repairing the kitchen boiler. Quite preposterous. But I expect anybody else would be just as bad. I've no idea who this is from. So I don't recognise the writing. This doesn't make sense. Are Patrick and Julia back, do you know?
Yes, I saw them a few minutes ago. They got soaked in the rain and went upstairs to change.
Would you tell them I'd like to talk to them, please?
Of course.
No, wait a minute. I want you to read the letter yourself.
Dear Cousin Letty, I hope it'll be all right for me to come to you on Tuesday. I wrote to Patrick 2 days ago, but he hasn't answered, so I presume it's all right. Mother is coming to England next month and hopes to see you then. My train arrives at Chipping Cleghorn at 6:15, if that's convenient. Yours affectionately, Julia Simmons. I don't understand.
Nor do I, but I think it's about time I did. Get Julia and Patrick, if you please, and I'd like you to stay with me to hear what they have to say.
I should have known that something like this would happen sooner or later. I meant to send her a telegram, but it went right out of my mind.
Well, the letter, I presume, is from your sister Julia.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, then, who is this young woman whom you brought here as Julia Simmons, and whom I was given to understand was your sister?
Well, you see, I knew I shouldn't have done it, but it was more of a joke than anything else. If you'll just let me explain...
I am waiting for you to explain. Who is she?
I met her at a cocktail party. We got talking, and I happened to say that I was coming along here to stay with you, and it seemed rather a good wheeze. So I brought her along.
And what about the real Julia? What happened to her?
Well, you see, she'd set her heart on going on the stage, but Mother was all against it. And then not long after we arrived in England, she got the chance to join a repertory company that was just setting up in Perth, and she was determined to give it a try. I agreed to keep Mother calm by telling her that Julia was here, learning to be a dispenser like a good little girl.
Well, you still haven't told me who this other young woman is.
I think it would be best if she explained that to you herself.
What's going on? What's happened?
The balloon's gone up.
Oh, I see. Well, that's that. I suppose you're very angry, Letty. I should be if I were you.
Who are you?
There's no point in trying to conceal it from you any longer. I'm half of the Pip and Emma combination.
You are Emma?
Emma Jocelyn Stamfordis, to be exact. My father and mother split up about 3 months after Pip and I were born, and they split us up too. I was father's part of the loot. Not that I ever saw very much of him. I had various spells of being educated in frightful convents, when father hadn't any money, or when he was preparing to engage in some particularly nefarious business deal. He used to pay my first term fees with every sign of affluence, and then depart and leave me on the nuns' hands for a year or two. When the war came, we were separated completely.
And what about Pip? Where's he now?
I've no idea. I don't even know if he's alive.
So what happened to you, Emma?
Oh, I had quite an adventurous time. I was with the French Resistance for a while. Quite exciting.
You never told me that.
Anyway, to cut a long story short, I came to England. I knew that Mother's brother, with whom she'd had some kind of frightful row, had died a very rich man. And I looked up his will to see if there was anything for me. There wasn't. Not directly, anyhow. Mrs. Girdler was dying by inches, and there didn't seem much hope for me there. Frankly, Letty, I decided that you were my best bet. You were going to come into one hell of a lot of money, and from all I could find out, you didn't have anyone very much to spend it on. I thought you might perhaps take pity on a poor orphan girl and make her a small allowance.
And then you ran into me.
It just seemed an astonishing piece of good luck. I went bullheaded for Patrick, and he fell for me in the most gratifying way. And since the real Julia had swanned off to Perth to become the next Sarah Bernhardt, I thought I'd take her place for a bit.
And Patrick approved of you continuing to tell a tissue of lies to the police?
Well,
I was in a bit of a spot, wasn't I? I've got a very good motive for wanting to put you out of the way. You can't expect me to hold up my hand and say, "Here I am, I'm next in line for the loot."
But you must have known you couldn't keep this up indefinitely.
I didn't anticipate that Julia would have a flaming row with her producer and flounce out. And I thought you would send her a cable telling her to keep away. What an idiot.
Yes, it was pretty stupid.
See who that is, will you, Philippa? Mitzi's probably locked herself in her bedroom.
Yes, of course, Letty.
And you say you have no idea where Pip is?
Not the foggiest.
I think you're lying, but we'll let that pass. Tell me something. When you were in the French Resistance, did you learn how to shoot a gun?
Oh, yes. I'm a first-class shot. I didn't fire at you, Letty, but I can tell you one thing. If I had done so, I wouldn't have missed.
It's Inspector Craddock. There's been another murder.
Miss Murgatroyd is dead. She was strangled not more than an hour ago. Where have you been all day, Miss Simmons?
In Milchester. I've just got in.
And you, Mr. Simmons?
Yes.
And did you both come back together?
Yes, we did.
No, it's no good, Patrick. That's the kind of thing that will be found out at once. The bus people know us too well. I came back earlier, on the one that gets in at 4 o'clock.
And what did you do then?
I went for a walk.
In the direction of Boulders?
No, I went across the field.
Even though it was raining heavily?
Little Paddock. Who? Oh, Mrs. Harmon. No. No, she hasn't. Well, I've really no idea. Oh, yes, he's here. It's Mrs. Harmon, Inspector.
Oh.
Miss Marple hasn't come back to the vicarage and she's rather worried.
Huh? Mrs. Harmon, this is Inspector Craddock.
Aunt Jane's out somewhere, but I don't know where she's got to. And they say that Miss Murgatroyd has been killed. Is that true?
I'm afraid it is, yes. Miss Marple went back with Miss Hinchliffe to Boulders after the body had been found.
Oh, so that's where she is.
No, she left there about half an hour ago.
But it's only 10 minutes' walk. Where can she be?
Perhaps she called in on one of your neighbours.
I've rung them, all of them. I've tried everywhere she might have gone. No one's seen her. I'm frightened, Inspector. I'm certain something must have happened.
But when you saw Aunt Jane with Miss Hinchliffe at Boulder's after the murder, did she say she was coming back here to the vicarage?
No, she didn't. Oh. But I did have other things on my mind at the time. As far as I can remember, she was standing at the gate talking to my sergeant.
There's something you should see, I think, Inspector. Miss Marple had been writing some note on a piece of paper. I've got it here. It might give some clue as to where she's gone.
Let's have a look. Lamp. Violets. Where is the bottle of aspirin? I can't read the next one.
The light would have been very bad. It's Delicious Death. It's a chocolate cake that Mitzi makes.
Yes, I know.
Sad Affliction Bravely Born. That rings some kind of bell.
Pearls. Does she mean Miss Blacklock's pearls, I wonder? Now, there are two more words on the list. Letty and Dan. I've no idea what she meant by that.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, of course.
The vicarage? Yes, he's here. It's your sergeant, Inspector.
I'm sorry that I can't just pack up my bag and go, Letty, but I don't imagine that the police would allow it. To tell you the truth, I don't know why Inspector Craddock hasn't been round here with the handcuffs for me already.
Still looking for the old lady, I expect. Miss Marple.
Do you think she could have been murdered, too?
But why? What could she know? Unless Miss Murgatroyd told her something before she was murdered.
Murder, murder, murder. Can't you all talk about anything else? I'm frightened, don't you understand? I wasn't before. I thought I could take care of myself. But what can you do against a murderer who's waiting, watching, and biding his time? Oh, God.
Don't worry, Aunt Letty. I'll look after you.
You? After you've brought into this house a woman who has the most reason to wish me dead.
I am come to say I am not going to cook the dinner. I go to my room, and I lock myself in. I stay there until it is daylight. I am afraid. People are being killed all the time. That stupid Miss Murgatroyd. Who would wish to kill her? Only a maniac. And a maniac does not care who he kills. So now, I go to my room and I lock the door and I put the chest of drawers against it. Good night, Miss Blacklock. Perhaps in the morning you will not be alive. So in case that is so, I say goodbye.
It looks as if I'd better see to dinner. Rather convenient, in a way. Less embarrassing for you all if you don't have me sitting round the table with you. And since Patrick has designated himself your official protector, Letty, he'd better taste every dish first.
I'll come and give you a hand.
No, thank you, Philippa. This isn't the time for girlish confidences.
I'll take it. Little Paddocks. She's pretty worn out at the moment. Well, can't we wait until morning? Okay, if you must. It's that policeman. He insists on speaking to you.
Yes, Inspector, what is it?
I shall be with you in about 10 minutes' time, Miss Blacklock, and I shall be bringing Colonel and Mrs. Easterbrook with me.
Is that necessary, Inspector? I really can't cope with people here tonight.
I'm sorry, Miss Blacklock, but it has to be tonight. It is extremely urgent.
Oh, very well. Have you found Miss Marple?
No. I'm afraid there's no sign of her.
What have you been doing in my nice kitchen? Look at this pan. Only for omelettes I use it. And what have you been doing with it?
Well, somebody had to cook the dinner after you chickened out. I've been frying onions.
Onions? Then it is ruined. It will have to be washed. And never, never, ever do I wash my omelette pan. And this saucepan? This is my milk saucepan, and you have used it for some filthy sauce.
Well, how do I know what pans you use for what? I thought you were safely locked up in your room. Oh, go away and let me get on with the washing up.
No! Get out! Get out! I will not let you use my kitchen. And I shall not go to the door.
Suit yourself. I expect that will be the inspector with the Easterbrooks.
There's nothing like a good fire after a dreary, cold, rainy day. Cheers you up a bit.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
There doesn't seem to be any sign of that poor old lady. Bunch is going simply frantic with worry. She can't think of where she could have gone to. Well, she didn't come to us. I've not seen her today, and I should know since I've scarcely left the house.
I don't want to keep you all any longer than is absolutely necessary, so we'd better begin. As you all know, Miss Murgatroyd was murdered this afternoon, and we have reason to believe that her killer was a woman. I'm going to ask certain ladies to account for where they were at the time of the murder. I've already had an account of her movements from a young lady who's been calling herself Julia Simmons, and I'm going to ask her to repeat her statement. Miss Stamfordis, I must caution you.
You need not answer if you think what you say may incriminate you, and anything you do say will be taken down by the constable here and may be used in evidence against you.
Yes, well, I suppose you have to say that. I repeat that between 4 and 4:30 this afternoon, I was walking along the field leading down to the brook by Compton Farm. I did not meet anyone, and I did not go anywhere near Boulders.
Mrs. Easterbrook?
Are you cautioning all the ladies, Inspector?
No, Colonel. At this stage, I have no reason to believe that any other statements may be incriminating. But, of course, should your wife wish to have a solicitor present...
I'm sure that won't be necessary, will it, my dear?
Oh, no. No, I'm sure it won't.
So, if you could tell us your movements, Mrs. Easterbrook.
I was sitting with my husband in his study. We were listening to the wireless together, weren't we, Archie?
Look, I'm afraid you don't understand these things, my dear. You see, Inspector, you've rather sprung this business on us, and my wife has been terribly upset about all these murders, as you can imagine.
Were you upset about the disappearance of your husband's pistol, Mrs. Easterbrook?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It is true, though, that you have a pistol, Colonel.
Yes, I do. It's just a kind of souvenir.
Why didn't you report that it was missing?
Well, you see, I never actually took out a license for it. I mean, after a war, you forget about these peacetime regulations. Didn't want to go looking for trouble.
Did you take it, Mrs. Easterbrook?
No, of course I didn't. I wouldn't even know how to fire it, would I, Archie?
So where were you this afternoon, Mrs. Easterbrook?
I was listening to the wireless.
And where were you, Colonel?
I was over at Croft End having a look at some chicken netting.
And were you listening to the wireless all afternoon, Mrs. Easterbrook?
Well, no. I went out for a walk at about 3:30, just a little walk, not far. I thought it was going to rain.
Thank you, Mrs. Easterbrook.
Aren't you going to ask the others where they were?
All in good time. But it won't be necessary to question everyone. You see, before she died, Miss Murgatroyd made a certain statement. On the night of the hold-up, someone was absent from this room. Someone who was supposed to have been in it all the time.
Ah, that is what you think. Why do you not ask Mitzi to come here with the others, Mr. Policeman? Because I am only Mitzi. Let her stay in the kitchen where she belongs. But I tell you, I can see things as well as anyone else. And better, too. I see something on the night of the murder. Something I do not quite believe. So I hold my tongue until now. I tell myself, I will wait. But now I am afraid. I do not want to be murdered. So I will tell you what I know.
All right then, Mitzi, what do you know?
I tell you. I am already in the dining room when I hear the gun go off. I look through the keyhole. The hall, it is black. But the gun goes off again, and as the torch falls... it swings round, and I see her. I see her close to him with the gun in her hand. I see Miss Blacklock.
Mitzi, don't be so ridiculous.
And now I go back to my kitchen.
Well, it's impossible. Mitzi couldn't have seen Aunt Letty.
And why not? Because it wasn't Miss Blacklock who was standing there with the gun. It was you.
Don't be stupid.
You took Colonel Easterbrook's revolver. You fixed up the business with Rudy's shirts. Everyone thought it was one of your jokes, and so it was. When the lights went out, you slipped out through that door, which you had carefully oiled. You shot at Miss Blacklock, and you killed Rudy Shirts.
But what earthly motive had I got? Tell me that.
Because you are Pip, Mr. Simmons. You'd worked it all out very carefully with Miss Stamfordis, a carefully calculated double bluff.
You're out of your mind. How could I possibly be Pip?
You couldn't, Patrick. You're not Pip. I am.
You, Mrs. Ames?
Yes. Everyone seems to have assumed that Pip was a boy. Oh, you, of course, knew that your twin was another girl. I don't know why you didn't say so this afternoon.
Family solidarity. I had no idea that you were Pip until that moment.
I had the same idea that you did. After I lost my husband and the war was over, I had to find some way to support Harry and me. I found out where Miss Blacklock lived, and I took a job at Dais Hall nearby. I hoped that Miss Blacklock, a woman with no relations, might be willing to help with Harry's education. And then the hold-up happened, and I began to get frightened.
Oh, that's not the way to do the washing up, Mitzi. You can't do it in 2 inches of water. You need to turn the taps on. Fill the sink right up. What a liar you are, Mitzi.
You're not annoyed at what I say, Miss Flatman?
I've got used to your lies by now, Mitzi.
I'll go to the inspector and tell him that I made it all up.
He knows that already. Only I know you're telling the truth for once.
Oh, no! Oh! Oh, Lottie! Lottie! Don't do it! Oh! Lottie! You mustn't kill her!
Oh, Dora! Forgive me! I had to do it!
Let the girl go, Miss Blackbox. You can come out of the cupboard now, Miss Marple.
Thank you. Oh! Sir Henry has always said I have a talent for mimicry.
Letitia Blacklock, I must warn you that any...
No, Inspector, not Letitia. This isn't Letty. This is Lottie. This is Charlotte Blacklock.
So you know all about it?
Yes, I know all about it.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have made Dora's voice come. I love Dora. And ever since she died, I've been so alone.
I want to hear all about it. How did you find out, Aunt Jane?
I only helped a little here and there. Dermot did all the rail work.
Well, then, tell it together.
You could always take it in turns. Only let Aunt Jane go first, because I like the way her mind works.
I'll do my best. The story really began, you see, when a pretty, light-hearted, affectionate girl called Charlotte Blacklock developed an enlargement of the thyroid gland. A goiter is the common expression.
I know an aunt of mine had one.
It ruined her life, because she was a very sensitive girl who always put great value on her personal appearance. The obvious solution was for her to have an operation, but her father, a doctor, was very narrow-minded and very stubborn and wouldn't hear of it.
And what about her sister, the one who really was Letitia?
She was working as Randall Girdler's assistant. By then she'd become completely indispensable to him.
But at the same time she was devoted to Charlotte. She wrote her long accounts of what was happening to try and keep her sister in touch with life, and when old Dr. Blacklock died, she threw up her work with Girdler and took Charlotte off to Switzerland to have an operation to remove the goiter. It was a complete success, leaving only a thin scar.
Which is why she wore that pearl choker all the time.
Yes, one couldn't help noticing it.
One of the orderlies who worked at the clinic in Bern where she had the operation was a certain Rudy Schertz. I don't think that the Blacklock sisters interested him much, but he certainly noticed them, and he remembered.
And then the war broke out, and the sisters had to stay on in Bern, where they worked for the Red Cross. By then, Randall Girdler was dead, and they knew all about the enormous fortune that would eventually come to Letitia. Of course, she planned to share it with her sister. And I think the prospect of being rich probably meant more to Charlotte.
So what went wrong?
Letitia, strong, healthy Letitia, got the flu, which turned to pneumonia, and within a week she was dead.
And Charlotte realised that her only chance of holding on to the fortune was to become Letitia.
I don't think she really felt that what she was doing was wrong. She came to England and bought a house in a part of the country where no one knew about the Blacklock sisters. She settled down at Little Paddocks, and for a time everything went splendidly. Until she made her first mistake.
Dora Bunner.
Yes. Letty received a letter from an old school friend who'd fallen on hard times, and being a kind-hearted and naturally affectionate person, she hurried to the rescue. I think that she was, in spite of everything, lonely.
But Dora must have written to her as Letitia. She must have had a bit of a shock when she discovered that Letitia was actually Charlotte.
Oh, yes, she would have been surprised. But I think that once Charlotte told her what she had done, Dora would have approved wholeheartedly. So Dora came to Little Paddocks, and it was not long before Charlotte began to realise that she had made a mistake. She was in a constant state of apprehension that Dora would reveal her secret. In her confused, muddle-headed way, Dora was always calling her Lottie instead of Letty.
Oh, yes, so she did. I noticed that.
So did I. But Dora being Dora, I never gave it a second thought.
Yes, that could be passed off easily enough. But Dora made other references to the past which could not be so easily explained away. However, the real blow to Charlotte's security came when she was recognised and spoken to by Rudy Schertz at the Royal Spa Hotel, where he was working as a receptionist.
He applied to her for money, He needed to cover a whole series of petty frauds at the hotel. He didn't realise at the time that he was in a position to blackmail her. But, of course, she saw the potential threat straight away. He was in a position to blow her whole world apart, to reveal that she wasn't Letitia Blacklock, the heiress to the Girdler Millions, but her sister Charlotte. She had to get rid of him.
She told Rudy Schertz that she wanted him to take part in a fake hold-up at a party she was giving in her house. It was all to be a tremendous joke, of course, and she would pay him well for it. She gave him the advertisement to put in the Chipping Cleghorn Gazette and arranged for him to come to Little Paddock's so that he would know his way around the house and showed him where he could wait until she let him in.
So that's why she was so nervous when the day came. Dora said she was frightened, but she wasn't frightened about the murder advertisement. She was worried that the plan might go wrong.
Did she steal the gun from the Colonel's drawer then?
Oh, yes. She would have known all about it from the cleaning lady, Mrs. Bott, and taking it would not have been very difficult. Like everyone else in the village, the Easterbrooks never bothered to lock their doors. So at the time announced, everyone called in at Little Paddock's, eager to see what was going to happen. She let Rudy Schertz into the house and went to join the others in the drawing room. And as the clock chimed 6:30, she went to stand by the shepherdess lamp, with a vase of violets in her hand.
Which is what Dora Bunner said when I first spoke to her. And when Miss Blacklock contradicted her and said she was holding a box of cigarettes, I didn't even notice the significance of it.
She had frayed the cord of the lamp until the wires were nearly bare. She spilt the water from the vase onto the flex, switched on the lamp, the wires fused, and all the lights went out.
Just like this afternoon at the vicarage. That's what put you onto it.
Well, after it was all over, she switched the shepherdess lamp for the shepherd, and no one except Dora was any the wiser.
The shepherdess is up in the attic. I noticed it when I was there.
And when the wires fused, there was a burn mark made on the table.
And Dora noticed that as well.
With the lights out, the room was in total darkness.
That was why no fire had been lit. Colonel Easterbrook said that was the first thing he noticed when he came into the room.
And while everyone was blundering about in the dark, Charlotte slipped out through the door, which everyone thought was never used, and came up behind Rudy Schatz with the gun in her hand. When the light from his torch reached the spot where she was supposed to be standing, she fired twice, very rapidly.
He swung round, and she held the gun close to his body and shot him. Then she slipped back quietly into the drawing room. She nicked her ear. I don't know how.
Oh, nail scissors, I expect. Hmm? It would only need a little snip to make quite a lot of blood.
Well, it all worked perfectly. It certainly took me in.
But now, there was the problem of Dora Bunner. She knew about the change of lamps and the burn on the table, and she would keep rambling on about the past. When she talked to me in the cafe that morning about sad affliction bravely borne, I began to realise that she wasn't talking about Letty at all, but Charlotte.
And so poor old Dora had to go.
But what about Miss Murgatroyd? Why did she need to kill her?
She was outside the window at Boulder's when she saw Hinchliffe and Miss Murgatroyd trying to reconstruct the scene of the murder. Miss Murgatroyd was remembering the way Rudy Schertz had shone his torch round the room, and she suddenly realised that when the light had reached the spot where Miss Blacklock was supposed to be standing, she hadn't been there. That was what she shouted out after Miss Hinchliffe as she drove the car off to the station. She wasn't there.
And so Murgatroyd had to go too.
Drat. Excuse me. The vicarage? Yes, yes, he's here. It's for you, Inspector.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Harmon.
Craddock here?
So, it was you who put Mitzi up to the business of bursting in and accusing Miss Blacklock, was it, Miss Marple?
Well, yes, it was. But I had to work on her a little, of course. I rehearsed her until she was word perfect.
What did you expect to happen, Aunt Jane?
One of two things. Either Miss Blacklock would offer Mitzi money to hold her tongue, which I would have overheard, or she would try to kill her.
But she could never have hoped to get away with that.
Oh, my dear, she was past reasoning. She was as desperate as a cornered rat. Think of what had already happened that day. She'd taken a tremendous risk strangling Miss Murgatroyd in her garden. No time to make a plan, just crude murder.
But weren't you taking one hell of a risk? Mitzi might have been killed.
Inspector Craddock knew just what was going on. He was waiting for a cue from the kitchen. You see, I knew that my little impersonation of Dora would break Lottie Blacklock completely.
Mrs. Haynes?
Yes, Inspector.
Could I have a word with you? In private, if I may.
Of course.
Could we use your husband's study, Mrs. Harmon?
Of course.
In a way, I find it difficult not to feel rather sorry for Charlotte Blacklock. She'd killed the only real friend she had left to her in the world. After that, I doubt whether anything really mattered very much.
I'm afraid I have some bad news for you, Mrs. Haynes. It's about your husband.
My husband? What about him?
He died in Milchester General Hospital this evening. He'd been run down by a lorry. There were no papers on him, no identification of any kind, but there was a scrap of paper in his pocket which they overlooked at first, with the number of little paddocks written on it. And there was a photograph, which I suspect is of you, Mrs. Haynes. They'd like you to go along and identify the body. I'll take you there when you're ready.
You say he was killed by a lorry?
Yes, Mrs. Haynes. But you'll be able to tell your son that his father died a hero's death. He gave his life to save a child that had rushed out into the road. He snatched it from under the lorry's wheels, but he couldn't save himself. I'm very sorry, Mrs. Haynes. But at least your boy can be proud to bear his father's name.
I have come to say the goodbyes, Mr. Simmons, to take my farewell of you.
And where are you going to go, Missy?
I have found a post in Southampton, not just cooking and answering the door. And if they tell me, Mitzi, you have first to go and see the police, you must register as an alien, I will say to them, yes, I will register. The police, they know me very well. I assist the police. Without me, they would never have made the arrest of a very dangerous criminal. A woman who killed many, many times.
I'm sure they'll be most impressed, Mitzi.
When that old lady came to see me in my kitchen, she said to me, Mitzi, if you had stayed in your own country, you would have been a heroine in the resistance. You are brave, and you are not afraid of taking the risks, and you are clever. You can act a part.
You certainly gave a performance none of us will ever forget.
And when it was all over, they say to me, Mitzi, you are so brave. We could never have done it without you.
And they were quite right.
And now, Mr. Simmons, I give you a little goodbye present.
Oh, really, Mitzi?
It is the recipe for delicious death. Here, take it.
Oh, thank you. Very much.
But you must never show it to that Julia, or whatever her name is. She ruined my omelette pan by cooking the onions in it. She does not deserve to know how to make delicious death.
It feels more like spring than autumn. What a wonderful day. We shall miss you, you know, Aunt Jane.
And I shall miss you, Bunch.
It's a shame we haven't really had any time to ourselves. Too many murders for that. But at least you can get back to the peace and quiet of St. Mary Mead.
Peace and quiet in St. Mary Mead? Oh, no. After all, we have had a murder in the vicarage and a body in Colonel Bantry's library. If I know anything about crime at all, I know it from St. Mary Mead. A natural genius cultivated in suitable soil, Sir Henry Clithering once called me. Oh, no, Bunch. Whatever may be awaiting me in St. Mary Mead, it certainly won't be peace and quiet. And what would I want with peace and quiet anyway?
In Agatha Christie's A Murder is Announced, Miss Marple was played by June Whitfield. Detective Inspector Craddock, Ian Lavender. Sir Henry Clithering, Graham Crowden. Letty Blacklock, Sarah Lawson. Dora Bunner, Judy Cornwell. Colonel Easterbrook, Jack Headley. Laura Easterbrook, Joanna McCullum. Bunch Harmon, Molly Gaisford. The Reverend Julian Harmon, Johan Meredith. Miss Hinchliffe, Elizabeth Bell. Miss Murgatroyd, Alice Arnold. Patrick Simmons, Jamie Glover. Julia Simmons, Angela Sims. Philippa Hames, Sarah Rice. Mitzi, Jenny Funnell. Mrs. Girdler, Tessa Worsley. A Murder is Announced was dramatized by Michael Bakewell. It was directed by Enid Williams for BBC Radio 4 and is published in the UK by BBC Worldwide. Thank you.